Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is Thursday, November the 4th, 2021, and I am delighted to be with you this morning. It is 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Spotswood, Virginia, and I don't know what time it is where you are. Maybe you are with me live right now, or maybe it's sometime later today or tomorrow or this week or this month or this year. I don't know when the Lord has brought you here, but I'm glad that He has. Especially in light of where we find ourselves this morning. If you're new here, then you should know that we are going through the Psalms, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And today we find ourselves in the 22nd Psalm. Certainly yesterday, as we made it through the 21st Psalm, we saw promises of the Lord's faithfulness, but also a recognition of the Lord's faithfulness. We talked about the temptation that David would have had after receiving his great victories, just to forget the Lord or to claim those victories as his own. Of course, he does not do that. He genuinely, this is not lip service that David pays in Psalm 21 that we saw yesterday. Genuinely, David is pointing the reader's attention to God and noting the fact that the victories that he's had, the deliverance that he's experienced, doesn't have anything to do with him. David speaking here. David saying that this is not about me. It's not about my strength, my wisdom, my might, none of that. Salvation comes from the Lord. And y'all, the reality has not changed. I hope you saw that yesterday. I hope you recognize that today, that nothing has changed. Now, certainly circumstances change, right? I don't know that you are being pursued by the deposed king of a nation that doesn't want you to become the next monarch. Obviously, a little bit different here in terms of circumstances. But the way that salvation works, the way that we receive aid in life, all of this points to God's faithfulness. Y'all, life is not about our being faithful to God, because we're not. We're just not. Instead, life is about God's faithfulness to us and our living a life of gratitude in light of that, that ought to spur us on toward faithfulness. Okay, so we see that from David. And again, yet again, in the 21st Psalm, we see another reason why David is really called the man after God's own heart and called that by God himself. So today we move on, though, to Psalm 22, which has a fascinating little preface in there, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's pray, and then we'll dig in. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us, and we thank you for your servant, David. We know that these words were breathed out by you. This is your word. But certainly, as we look at David, we can see his life on display. We can see the way that you worked in his life and the way that he was faithful to you. And the ways that he rebelled against you and did not seek your face. We thank you for his life so fully on display. For in viewing him, we have hope. Hope not in our goodness, but hope in your mercy and in your grace. And as we continue today in the Psalms, we ask that you would bless us by your Holy Spirit, that we would understand what this psalm is talking about and see how it applies to us. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Psalm 22 is where we are at today, and I'm going to go ahead and say this right at the start. I'm doing my best not to be distracted. Y'all can't see him here, but Bubbo the Labradoodle is standing right beside me. He had a trip to the vet, and as a result, there's his tail right there. Anyway, had a trip to the vet, and as a result, can't be in his crate, so he's my buddy this morning. But Psalm 22, verse 1 is where we pick up. Do these words sound familiar? Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Pausing for just a moment, we're only halfway through verse 1. Y'all, these are words that are poignant, aren't they? These words carry with them a certain gravity. And of course, if they sound familiar to you, you probably know where they're from, but maybe they sound familiar, like, well, where are those? If you go to the narrative, the section of God's word that deals with Christ's crucifixion, you find several sayings of Christ, several things that Jesus said as he hung on the cross. Everything from Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, to giving the charge of taking care of his mother to one of the disciples, all sorts of things. I am thirsty. But the most poignant, the thing that Christ said that downright stings that makes the crucifixion real for you and me. Because if you're trusting in Christ, you know that the pains that he suffered were the pains that were meant for you, the pains that were meant for me. Is when Christ calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Scholars debate this heavily. What does this mean? Did Jesus give up his divine nature at this point? And we're not going to get into any of that. But y'all, the beginning of verse 1 clues us into what this psalm is really all about. And there's a term for this. This is a messianic psalm. The preface that is in my Bible, it says, for the director of music to the tune of the Doe of the Morning, a psalm of David. You know, it's fascinating how certain some translators are about things. The reality is that the Hebrew is tricky, tricky, tricky right there at the beginning of Psalm 22. The Hebrew word, scholars can't decide if the word, and if y'all hear a beep, I'm buzzing Bobo here. But nevertheless, the word there, it might be doe or deer or hind. It also might mean strength. So we really don't even know what the little inscription is at the beginning of the psalm. So what Calvin concludes is we don't need to worry about the little inscription at the beginning. We know that David wrote it. That's the important thing. And we know from the New Testament what this psalm is. And the reality is that this psalm points to Christ. Again, it's a messianic prophetic psalm. Okay, so keep that in mind. But also this psalm does something else. This psalm shows us the nature of the human heart. It shows us the emotions that we can experience. And it shows us that we can cry out to God. All right. So it continues. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. All right, so the basis is laid out here for the cry of the psalmist, right? He points to God's faithfulness and he points to God's power. But in verse 6, a turn is taken here where we really see David's heart. And it should be noted, we don't know the circumstances of this. Is this dropping back to the difficulties that David faced as he was pursued by Saul? Does this have to do with the uprising by Absalom? We don't know. We just know he's hurting. And we know that what he is lifting up is valid. Look at how he continues in verse 6. He talks about, they cried to you and were saved. In verse 5, in you they trusted and were not disappointed. Verse 6, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. Now the question is, what does he mean here in verse 6? There's really a couple of possibilities. When he calls himself a worm and not a man, is he reflecting on people's opinion of him? As we're going to see, verse 7, all who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. And then it gets worse from there. Is that the context of David referring to himself as a worm and not a man? Now, it should be noted here that this is not, while the psalm is a prophecy of Christ, not everything in it specifically relates to Christ. Certainly, this declaration by David here, is he calling himself that in light of how people view him, or is David recognizing his own sinfulness here? When he refers to himself as a worm and not a man, is he remarking on his lack of faith? Certainly. This is not in reference to Christ. This is not a prophecy of who Christ was, who Christ is, any of that. This is David. The prophecies are interwoven in the midst of this psalm. And the answer is we don't really know. Really, we don't. There's opinion out there. But I think that both can be valid, that David could be referring to how people see him, but also he could be referring to his own challenges of faith. And he's being honest with God about how he is struggling, not sinning, but how he is struggling with what he is facing. Then I think the answer to this, which one is it? I think the answer is yes. I think it's not an either or. It really is sort of a both and. But the reason I rely more heavily on interpreting this by saying that David is writing about how others see him and how others perceive him is how the song continues, right? Again, verse 7, all who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in Jehovah. Let Jehovah rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Now, again, y'all, again, the prophecy is interwoven here. Isn't this reminiscent of the taunting of the soldiers of Christ? Where they said, hey, you're the Son of God. Go ahead and get yourself down off of that cross. Let God save you. Right? Sounds very similar. Do you hear the derision, though? Do you hear the scorn in the mouth of the mocker here? He trusts in Jehovah. Let Jehovah rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. What David is revealing is that the scorn is not just about him. It's about God himself. And David points out the nature of the world around us. But he doesn't stop here. He says in verse 9, yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. This is almost a transition point where, despite his circumstances, and it is a transition point, where despite his circumstances, David recognizes the faith given to him by God. He also, as a side note, recognizes that that's how faith works. Faith is not something that you and I churn up within ourselves. It's not an emotion that wells up within us. Faith is a gift from God. And if you don't believe that, read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, when it says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man may boast. In other words, the faith that David recognizes here says originate, he recognizes that it originates with God. And he's telling God that he's trusting him. In essence, this is a prayer, y'all, where David has gone to the Lord and has made his cry and has said, Lord, see what they've done to me. Look at what's happening to me. Yet I trust in you. Please don't be far from me. Verse 12, he talks about the nature of what he faces. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions tearing their prey open, their mouths wide against me. I'm poured out like water. Oh, my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Again, sound familiar? As David reveals his emotions here, we are pointed to the suffering of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why Calvin says the little transcription at the beginning of the psalm doesn't matter too much, because we know what the psalm is about, because the psalm is used again and again in the New Testament by the apostles to prophesy or to point to the prophecy of the Messiah, to point to what Jesus faced. And in case you don't remember, it was Jesus' hands and feet that were pierced as he was hung on the cross. Not only that, verse 19, he continues. Verse 18, he continues, they divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Now, what is David talking about here? Is he talking about the plunders of war as people pursue him? Probably. But again, y'all, do you remember what Jesus faced? After being brutally beaten and mocked by the soldiers, they stripped him naked. And you remember, they cast lots for his clothing as their own little spoils of war, as they attack the Son of God himself. Again, what a poignant reminder this psalm is of what our Savior faced. And remember, as our Savior faced it, he was silent. He was silent. We have his cries from the cross, but as he faced the derision of the soldiers, It's the most remarkable thing, y'all. John chapter 1 says that nothing was made that wasn't made through Jesus. So rewind to Genesis 1. When it talks about God speaking all things into creation, it was through Jesus. He's the agent of creation. Jesus spoke the world into existence, and he could have spoken it out of existence. He needed but only open his mouth when the soldiers were taunting him, when they were doing what verse 18 says, dividing his garments among them and mocking him. All he had to do was open his mouth, and the world would have dissolved. Could have dissolved, but he didn't. And the reason he didn't was because of his love for you and me. Psalm 22 brings us back to that, but it also gives us David's insight into these things. That's why verse 19 continues by saying, "But you, O Jehovah, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me." David recognizes here that his only hope is in the Lord. Jesus himself recognized the same things as he placed his father, as he placed himself in his father's hand, saying, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." And just as God was faithful to David, God was faithful to his son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, leaving him not to decay, but raising him again on the third day after his crucifixion. So David continues, "Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen." And it is at this point that there's a transition in the psalm, a hard break from this line of misery and crying out. And what is that break? It's David's commitment to the Lord. And it's a fitting reminder for you and me. When you face struggles, as you deal with life, turn to the Lord first. But then in turning to the Lord, don't forget him. Because what David does after doing all these things, after revealing these things to the Lord, he testifies. He says in verse 22, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, you who fear Jehovah, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." You know, what David's doing here is he's simply recognizing God's faithfulness even before deliverance comes in full, because David trusts God. Verse 25, "From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek Jehovah will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to Jehovah, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." Again, does this sound familiar? Is this not the promise given not just to King David, but to his descendant, who we know is Jesus Christ? That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what Psalm is pointing to here. Psalm 22 is pointing to this. Verse 29, "All the rich of the earth will feast and worship, and who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it." Y'all, what a glorious psalm the 22nd psalm is. What a wonder it is. All these things that are pointed to that aren't just a promise that might maybe happen and we don't know how. We know that in fact this promise has been fulfilled already. And it's coming in all of its fullness with Jesus' return. In the meantime, there's a prompting for us here. And it's the same prompting we've received before. Number one, will you trust? When difficulty comes, will you trust in Jesus Christ? And number two, in light of trusting, will you testify to his greatness? Rest assured, I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord does. And he has not turned a blind eye to you. Instead, with every difficulty, listen to me now, With every difficulty we face, we are also given an opportunity to trust and an opportunity to rest in the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, what a blessing it is to know and love you, and even more so to be known and to be loved by you. We praise you that these words are true, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, who they point to, for his sacrifice that he willingly faced out of love for us, your people. Like David, let us turn to you again and again. And Father, in turning to you, let us not forget to testify to your greatness and to live in light of your deliverance. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning. Let's see who we've got here that has commented. Mary Ann and Rose and Sybil, good morning. And there's Becky and Stacy, good morning. And uh-oh, Facebook acting up. Monica, hopefully it's just yours. Hello, Becky. And then there's Evelyn. Thank you so much and blessings to yours. And then I see Wayne. Good morning. Boy, it's cold in Spotswood too. And then there's the other Becky. Good morning to you. Thank you all for being a part of this time. Those that commented and those that didn't, those that are here now and those that will be. Again, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7. Until then, hope you have a wonderful Thursday.